Chapter 32. The deep roar of the ocean. The break of waves on further shores than thought can find. The silent thunders of the deep. And from among it, voices calling, and yet not voices. Humming trillings, wordlings, the half-articulated songs of thought. Greetings, waves of greetings sliding back down into the inarticulate, words breaking together. A crash of sorrow on the shores of earth. Waves of joy on, where, a world indescribably found, indescribably arrived at, indescribably wet, a song of water. A fugue of voices now, clamouring explanations of a disaster unavertible, a world to be destroyed, a surge of helplessness, a spasm of despair, a dying fall, again the break of words. And then the fling of hope, the finding of a shadow earth in the implications of enfolded time, submerged dimensions, the pull of parallels, the deep pull, the spin of will, the hurl and split of it, the flight. A new earth pulled into replacement, the dolphins gone. Then stunningly, a single voice, quite clear. This bowl was brought to you by the campaign to save the humans. We bid you farewell. And then the sound of long, heavy, perfectly grey bodies rolling away into an unknown, fathomless deep, quietly giggling. Chapter 33. That night they stayed outside the asylum and watched TV from inside it. "This is what I wanted you to see," said Wonka the Sane when the news came around again. "An old colleague of mine, he's over in your country running an investigation. Just watch." It was a press conference. "I'm afraid I can't comment on the name Rain God at the present time, and we are calling him an example of a spontaneous paracausal meteorological phenomenon." "Can you tell us what that means?" "I'm not altogether sure. Let's be straight here. If we find something we can't understand, we like to call it something you can't understand, or indeed pronounce. I mean, if we just let you go around calling him a rain god, then that suggests you know something we don't, and I'm afraid we couldn't have that. Now, first we have to call it something which says it's ours, not yours. Then we set about finding some way of proving it's not what you said it is, but something we say it is. And if it turns out that you're right, you'll still be wrong, because we will simply call him a supernormal, not paranormal or supernatural, because you think you know what those mean now. No, a supernormal's incremental precipitation inducer. We'll probably want to shove a quasi in there somewhere to protect ourselves. Rain God, never heard such nonsense in my life. Admittedly, you wouldn't catch me going holiday with him. Thanks, that'll be all for now, other than to say hi to Wonko if he's watching." Chapter 34. On the way home, there was a woman sitting next to them on the plane who was looking at them rather oddly. They talked quietly to themselves. "I still have to know," said Fenchurch, "and I strongly feel that you know something you're not telling me." Arthur sighed and took out a piece of paper. "Do you have a pencil?" he said. She dug around and found one. "What are you doing, sweetheart?" she said, after he had spent 20 minutes frowning, chewing the pencil, scribbling on the paper, crossing things out, scribbling again, chewing the pencil again, and grunting irritably to himself. "Trying to remember an address someone once gave me." "Your life would be an awful lot simpler," she said, "if you bought yourself an address book." Finally, he passed the paper to her. "You look after it," he said. She looked at it. Among all the scratchings and crossings out were the words "Quenchilus Quasgar Mountains," "Severalby Upstry," "Planet of Prilium Tarn," "Sun Zas," "Galactic Sector QQZ Active J Gamma." "And what's there?" "Apparently," said Arthur, "it's God's final message to his creation." "That sounds a bit more like it," said Fenchurch. "How do we get there?" "You really?" "Yes," said Fenchurch firmly. "I really want to know." Arthur looked out of the scratchy little perspex window at the open sky outside. Excuse me," said the woman who'd been looking at them rather oddly, suddenly. "I hope you don't think I'm rude. I get so bored in these long flights. It's nice to talk to somebody. My name's Enid Capelson. I'm from Boston. Tell me, do you fly a lot?"